You're listening to the Greg Swaim Show, baby.
Jay Billis joins us. Of course, you know him mostly as an ESPN analyst when you watch college basketball. Did the Duke game last night. Big win, blowout win over Josh Pastner and Georgia Tech. But also a New York Times bestseller, Toughness, the book. Very inspirational. I recommend it. I've read it. I know a lot of you have as well. And you can get it on all the websites as well that do books, but also has a great camp in Charlotte, North Carolina, been going on for a while, the Jay Billis Skills Camp. And I'll have that again this year in middle June, but coming up in Oklahoma City, June 10th and 12th, they'll have the first Oklahoma City version of that. And we're thrilled that Jay's going to bring the Midwest and bring Jay on right now. First of all, Jay, welcome. And tell you what, last night was kind of a blowout, wasn't it?
It sure was, and thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you. Last night, the game between Duke and Georgia Tech, I was still on one, didn't know that Grayson Allen was back from his suspension, and he was in the starting lineup. Harry Giles started for the first time in his college career, and Duke fired on all cylinders on the offensive end. I'm not sure I've seen a dismantling of an opponent, a major college opponent, quite like that in several years. So it was an interesting night to be at that game.
No doubt about it. And you commented there, you know, on Grayson Allen coming back so quick. It really didn't say you wouldn't have brought him back, but you might have thought about another game or two.
Yeah, if it were me, and obviously it wasn't. It's not my call. It would have been a longer suspension. But I respect the views that the university took on the matter. I mean, it was basically 2 weeks of being suspended, and you could look at it by game, but it was 2 weeks of time, and you know, it's really up to them. The fact that the ACC didn't act upon it, to me, was more the issue, that if it were something that the ACC felt was important, they would have mandated a certain amount of time. It's just one of those things, Greg, that I have a hard time wrapping my head around. I've never seen anything quite like it in basketball in all my years of playing and coaching and then in the media. It was so weird. And I don't know what the rule book is for weird. It was, you know, it was an unsportsmanlike act, but, it was kind of hard to peg. Like, what do you do in that scenario? I've never seen it before, and hopefully we'll never see it again, because there's an aspect to it that's so silly, in a way. It's serious in one regard, and you're kind of shaking your head going, what is this? The other part. So I'm kind of glad it's over, and we can move on. If it happens again, we'll revisit it, but I hope the kid can move on now.
And Jay, I'm going to get worn out if I don't bring this up. The night before, there was another controversy, the Kansas-Iowa State game, Kansas State game. And I'm going to get worn out if I don't bring this up for Big 12 fans. But obviously, Svee took an extra step or two in his way to a winning basket. And I know in your book, Toughness, you have some excerpts from Bob Knight, who we've had on the show a number of times. And I don't think we've had him on very many times where he didn't bring up that traveling just drives him nuts, that if officials called traveling the way, you know, Dr. Naismith had intended, they'd never make it across, you know, the court. And is this something that they're going to clean up a little bit? Because in the NBA, it probably wouldn't have been traveling. It should have been not called. Everybody, even the most diehard of Kansas fans, said it was traveling. But, you know, bottom line is the official didn't call it.
Yeah, it would have been traveling in the NBA. They would have called that in a heartbeat. I think a lot of people think about the NBA and what it was years ago. That would have been called. Look, Greg, it's just one of those things. The referees blew it, and it was a clear walk. You didn't have to go to the replay to figure it out. The announcer said it right when it happened, on the game. I was watching it. I was sitting in my hotel room going, that's a walk. They blew it. But, the fact that they blew it is kind of part of the game. And so I'm actually coming out right now on the other end of replay. I believe in getting it right like anybody else does, but replay is starting to take too long, and it's starting to take away from these games, and it's taken away from the fan experience. It's taken away from time in the arena. It's difficult for the players and the coaches. I understand the get it right part, but I'm not sure that it's the right thing for live sports to do. And so I don't know what can be done about it. I think if this were a recurring issue with those three officials, if they were routinely missing calls or it happened more often than was acceptable, then I'd say we need to make a change there. If they just made this one mistake or a couple of mistakes here and there, I think we have to accept it as part of the game and move on from that as well.
Speaking of college basketball, Jay, I have one other question. I get this all the time. You know, what has hurt college basketball from, you know, it was going great about, you know, back when you played up through when you coached as an assistant at Duke and even up through, you know, the millennium. But I think, you know, and the rule changes have helped a little bit, the hand checking, some of those things. I don't like, you know, the early season, how many fouls were called, but it's kind of a necessary evil to clean it up later in the season. The thing that hurts to me, and I want to see if you agree with this, more than anything is one and done, the era of one and done, because, you know, we don't get to know the stars until, you know, January, February, the freshmen that are coming in, and then they're gone. We don't have them coming back the next year. Do you agree with that at all?
I do. I the foul issue at the beginning of the season, I put more on the players and the coaches. You know, if you don't want the referees to blow the whistle and quit fouling.
Yeah.
So the referees have to do that. On the issue of interest in college basketball, you know, the game's stronger in a lot of ways than it's ever been. Players are better than they've ever been. And I think officiating is actually better than it's ever been. The problem that we have is not one and done. It's not players that only come to college for 1 year. It's just the fact that there's early entry into the NBA. So players that leave after their sophomore and junior years are an issue too. And so the entire landscape, if they could go out of high school, we would lose guys like Kevin Durant, Derrick Rose, Kevin Love and the like. We would never have had them, but they would still have left after 1 year. And so it's not, you know, they could always do that. I think, the problem that we've got is, you know, we've got to figure out a way, Greg, to, have an incentive for players to stay. That we're never going to be football where, you know, we've got a rule that, you know, the NFL has a rule, the NBA has a rule where you got to stay in school for 3 years, or it's like baseball. That's never going to happen. And so what college basketball needs to do is figure out a way, how can we make college a better alternative? If we think education is so important, I happen to believe education is great. I think the people in Indianapolis running the NCAA, they're always saying how great it is. If it's so great, then we should think about positive ways to convince players that college is the better option than going pro early.
Yeah, and most
right
of those,
now,
go ahead.
Yeah, right now we can't make that case.
Well, most of those one and done guys, I mean, do they even go to school after December?
Yes, they do. They have to.
Okay.
You know, the schools basically are essentially punished by losing APR points if players don't finish their second semester. But that stuff really doesn't matter because, you know, I think these schools are perfectly fine in educating their students exactly the way they want to. I have zero problem with all that stuff. All these issues that we think about, well, players aren't even going to school or they don't have to do this. They don't have to go to school when they're seniors. You know, so they don't have to finish, but they do. These guys are going to class. Now, there are situations here or there when an individual student may not do what they're supposed to do. But that's up to each school to deal with. It's not up to some blanket rule that we can impose because those things are unenforceable. We can't. They don't do any good. They're just cosmetic, and it's just so the NCAA can go out and say, "Hey, look how great we are. We believe in education," and they're meaningless rules.
We're joined by ESPN analyst Jay Billis, and join us here for a little bit more. Talk about your Jay Billis skills camp, because you've been going in Charlotte, North Carolina for a while. You still have that mid-June. But the week before that, you're going to bring your first ever to Oklahoma City. Very excited about that. Talk about your camps.
Well, I'm really excited about it, Greg. You know, I've got a good friend named John Searby, who we got together to coach my son's AAU team a couple of summers. And as we went through the entire process, both of us have been involved in basketball our whole lives. We've worked at different camps. around the country, some of the top 100 camps that I've been lucky enough to work at and teach. And when we were doing that, John made a great point to me. He said, you know, we can't fix this whole system. The things that we don't like about the basketball culture, for kids, we can't fix it. But what we can do is we can have an impact in our backyard and make a positive impact on kids that way. So we started a camp in Charlotte, that's, you know, it's been a 3-4 day camp, and it's kind of an old school camp where there's a lot of drill work and teaching and playing. We bring in nothing but college coaches, at the Division II and Division III level. And we have a coaching clinic that goes with it where coaches now can get certified and get experience, through that clinic. We bring in, college managers that want to get into coaching, are there. So the players, the campers, the players that come to camp get a extraordinary help in teaching and in improving their game. And so it's kind of old school in that regard. And so we had a bunch of kids that were coming in from California and Texas. And we thought, you know what? We've got some connections there in Oklahoma City. Southern Nazarene is a very, similar facility and a great facility, very similar to Queens University in Charlotte. We thought, you know, this would be good to expand our footprint to, you know, make our backyard a little bit bigger and help some more players and maybe relieve some of the travel burden for some of the players that have wanted to come. And it's a long trip for them.
I know we've been talking about it on Twitter already. Very excited about it with a mutual friend of ours, Paul Biancardi, who took our recruiting service for years at various schools he was at, and also involved with ESPN with you. And so he's very excited about it. I know he'll be involved. And it's jbilliscamp.com. Very easy to remember, whether you're a player who wants to get better and find out more about the recruiting process, or you're a coach who wants to get better. Even you have the young coaches camp, which is very exciting. I know. Talk about that a little bit, because I had one coach ask me the difference. I'm like, well, we'll make it real easy for you. We'll ask the guy himself when he comes on the radio.
Yeah, the coaches clinic is basically as it sounds. Some of the coaches at the clinic will be down on the floor observing and maybe even helping. But that's going to be more lecture, classroom discussion, X and O stuff on how to be a better coach. It's going to be certification. They can be certified as a result of that. And there's some assistance in the certification through USA Basketball. You know, having the young coaches, there are a lot of young coaches and people that want to get further up in the coaching ladder that don't have hands-on experience. So they'll be able to come to the camp and work and essentially be assistants to some of the head coaches that are there, that are college head coaches. So they'll get some hands-on experience that they might not be able to get otherwise in other settings. And we've found it to be really helpful. One, it's enlightening for us. I mean, I'm there every minute of the camp. You know, I guess I'm termed the camp director, but I'm jumping into drills and working with the players, and I'm there every minute of it. And I love it. I mean, I'm really fortunate to be able to do it, but you know, getting some time with the players and, you know, getting to know the parents and being able to help with their questions, navigating the recruiting process is not easy. And luckily we have people like Paul Biancardi, who's able to walk them through it. And Paul's one of the foremost experts, not only in recruiting, but he's been there. You know, he's a parent, but he's also, was a Division I assistant and, a Division I head coach. So he's lived it. And I think the expertise you get from Paul and all the different coaches that we've got has been invaluable to the players and also to the parents.
Paul's one of the best, no doubt about it. Jay, appreciate having you on. Folks can sign up at jbilliscamp.com, whether you're a coach, and I assume that means AAU coaches too that want to get better and get certified, as well as high school coaches and young college coaches, guys want to get into the business. And I don't think a day goes by, you probably get asked this too, you know, what's the best way for a high school coach or an AAU coach to get into college coaching? Well, you'll find out at jbilliscamp.com. Of course, if you're a player as well. And no, I'm real excited, Jay, about meeting you face-to-face, taking my son to camp, and also his high school, future high school coach will be there as well. So looking forward to that. Jay, appreciate having you on, and look forward to maybe having you on again before June.
You call me anytime, Greg, and anything I can do for you in anticipation of the camp, in advance of that, you let me know.
All right. Sounds great. Jay Billis from ESPN and jaybilliscamp.com. We'll be back after these messages.